Peter, don't worry about that second slide, okay? I'm going to skip that one, all right? With all those verses on it from the Psalms, okay? All right? Because you have them all memorized, that's why. Yeah. Anyway, I kind of gave you a little intro to the Psalms, and I'm just going to jump right here into Psalm 1, and we just read it. But one thing I wanted to point out to you, the reason why Psalms 1 and 2 and little bunny trail, it's Psalm 1 or Psalm 55, not Psalms 55, all right? It's one of my pet peeves, okay? So just, I hate it when people say that. Psalms 48. No, it's Psalm 48. Anyway, I'll get over it. Okay, so we are in Psalms 1 and 2, okay, because it's plural, right? Not to confuse you. But look at Psalm 1. So notice how Psalm 1 begins, right? Blessed, right? Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And how does Psalm 2 end? What's the last line? Blessed. See, they're bookends, right? So the author, the compiler of the Psalms intentionally placed these together to put Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 together so that as we begin the book of Psalms, there's blessed for those who choose God wisely, and the greatest choice, of course, is to trust Him and to trust His Son, verse 12. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But last week we were in the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, and we learned that God's Word was given so that we could enjoy life. The Word of God is there, the Ten Commandments are there, so that we would live them, live by them, and in order to enjoy life. And so Psalm 1 shows us why walking with God is the wisest choice that you and I can make. But it also shows us, as we'll see, it's not always the easiest choice. All right? Because there are other voices in life that people listen to and they get our attention. And there's a lot of them. Matter of fact, there's a lot more of them. So we have to be careful to follow the right choice that God puts out there for us. So, Psalm 1 reminds us that there are only two basic ways to life because, or therefore, we need to choose wisely how we're going to walk in life. Blessed, okay? Blessed is the man, blessed is the one. So the author begins by telling us, what does it mean to be blessed? Now, if I were to say to you this morning, how are you blessed? And you would most likely start talking about the things that God has done for you and has given you. Might be things that you're enjoying, might be things of comfort, might be things of safety, might be things of health. That's not how God talks about being blessed here, does he? He says, blessed is the one who doesn't, that's how he starts out with, interesting, who doesn't do these things, right? He doesn't talk about, not that they're wrong to talk about, okay? Not saying they're wrong. That, you know, good health and comfort and having our needs met are always what we're blessed by God. But God is more concerned about we live a blessed life by obeying Him, more so than what we get out of life. And I think we have to sort of get that reorientation in our minds. To be blessed is to know God, period. And to live a blessed life is to experience His presence in our life through obedience. The blessings of life are wonderful. It's gravy, okay? Whatever we get out of life is gravy. But God says the greatest blessing is to make the wisest choice of living for Him. But it's interesting how he starts it out negatively. Blessed is the one who doesn't, right? Who doesn't do these things, who doesn't follow the path of wickedness. And the reason why is because we know that our choices always lead us somewhere. No matter what our choices are, they lead us in a direction, no matter how small they are. So when we choose wisely, it's going to lead us to more beneficial results, as the psalm will point out. But sometimes if we make poor choices, they also will sometimes gradually lead to a poor result. Let's use an illustration. Say you want to do renovations on your house, okay? You get a few quotes from different people. You listen to how they're going to do the work for whatever it is you need to have done. They give you quotes, right? You say, 9 times out of 10, how do people choose the work they want done? Cheapest. Cheapest is always the best, right? Not always, right? Because sometimes, not always, but sometimes you say, well, I want to save money. I'll go to this person, and then they do the work, and it looks good, but you don't know they use lesser quality materials. You don't know that they may be painted and caulked to hide mistakes that they made. You don't know whether they made things that began with a faulty foundation. And it looks good initially, but because you'd made a poor choice, it led you to a unbeneficial result. And so all of a sudden, months down the road, or even years down the road, the walls start cracking, and all of a sudden the foundation moves, and all of a sudden you're like, maybe I didn't make a wise choice, right? So we have to be careful. We have to be careful because every small poor choice, every small wise choice always leads us in a direction. And spiritually wise, it moves us in a wiser choice, always moves us in a direction towards God. But a poor choice, unwise choice moves us away from God. And so the psalmist says, blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Now, I'm sure you've noticed there's progression, isn't there? Went from walking to standing to sitting, right? So when we listen too much, when we listen to the counselors, and here when he uses counsel, he's talking about professionals. He's talking about just the knowledge of what's around you. Could be your friends, could be your coworkers, could be, the internet, and you're listening to all this information. And when you walk and you're listening, when you're walking involves, some time, maybe an initial relationship, you're listening, and you're like, this is interesting. And then you want to spend some more time. And so then there's this from walking to standing. You're like, I got to put some more time into this. I got to listen more to these voices. And if they're poor choices, gradually, if you're not careful, you end up sitting. Position where you have allowed too much wrong information to bring you to a place where you never thought it was. And here, the place is mocking God. Mocking God. That's where that place is. If we make poor, small, unwise choices of listening to the wrong voices, they will drag us away from the truth of God. And those voices could be anything, right? It's just that we become fixated on something that doesn't agree with the Word of God, and over time we become convinced of it. It can lead us eventually into a place where we are mocking God. And it can be so subtle, right? Because, the voices are friendly. The voices sound smart. The voices offer, an interesting perspective. But they take us where we don't need to go. I mentioned earlier that the psalmist points out that walking with God is not easy. Notice, blessed is the one who doesn't walk after the counsel of the many. He's intentionally done that, right? He's intentionally said it's not easy. See, you're the one, but there's all kinds of voices out there. So blessed is the one, blessed who is the person who is willing to trust God and not listen to the many. Because there are more counselors out there against God than there are for God. Clearly. A lot of them. If 6% of Canadians are Christians, born-again Christians, that means there's how many who aren't? Right? At least 50%, right? didn't do well in math, so anyway. But Lot, right? There's a lot of voices out there that tell us this is the wrong way. And so people will say, why are you doing this? Why are you listening? Aren't we the right ones? Isn't the majority always right? No. Blessed is the one who stands against the many voices that take us away from God. So what does it then mean to be blessed? We often use it to refer to pleasant circumstances, and that's not untrue. But here, God says it means to be content with who we are in Him, knowing that we're living a wise, purpose-filled life because we know walking with God is the right choice and brings us to the longer-lasting benefits. It's a positional joy that reminds us through the truth that this is right and good and results in far more satisfactory life now as well as eternal dividends. Who determines what blessed means? God does, right? He's the one who's telling us what does it mean to be blessed. This is what it means to be blessed. So let's work on helping ourselves understand that definition a little bit better. So if God says walking with Him means you're blessed, even though it's hard, trust Him and over time, you'll see how this is always true. So let's be careful of our choices by being sensitive to the desires of our hearts because, as verse 2 points out, our choices are determined by what? Our desires. We make choices based on our desires. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight, his choice, his desire is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Do we delight in, do we meditate on God's word every day? I mean, delight, it means I take pleasure in this. Do I take pleasure in reading the word of God? I read it because I desire it. I want to experience God's truths. I want to know what's good for me and what results is spiritual fruit in our lives. And so that word meditate means to chew on. It means to, you know, regurgitate. It means to mull over. It means to talk about. Because we talk about the things that we enjoy. And so he's saying talk about them, chew on them, mull them over, right? All these good things of God. I like listening to Ask Pastor John Piper. There's a podcast once a week, Ask Pastor John. People write in questions. They've been doing this for, like, I don't know how many years, 20, 30 years. And recently someone wrote in a question, and they said, I read my Bible every day, and I read it expecting to be wowed by it, but often I walk away feeling like I didn't really get a whole lot out of it. Am I missing something? And his answer was, Me too. He says, yeah. He says, the daily reading of Scripture is still the best habit we can have because you're constantly listening to God. And the steady voice of God transforms our thoughts over time. And it's like farming, right? You plant a seed, you water it, you gradually watch it, wait for it, maybe weed it, maybe move rocks, right? Waiting for rain, waiting for... It's gradual. It's slow. But one day you see something pop out of the ground. There's a wow moment. Hey, something's actually growing here. And so that's what it's like when we read our Bibles. We read our Bibles because it's the right thing to do, and we'll slowly grow like Jesus because we're listening to the creator of the universe tell us what life is all about and describing how we should look at life and live. So yeah, I mean, what's life? Life is a steady, habitual, right? Repetition of good, productive behaviors punctuated every now and then by wow moments. isn't it? It's pretty routine most of life, isn't it? Every now and then we hit a valley. Every now and then we get a pretty excitement. And living for God and reading His Word are the same. Those wow moments will come when we continue to read the Word of God, and they'll come when we don't expect them, because it's the Spirit of God who speaks to us as we're reading the Word of God. And it could be something you and I are both reading, and you get a wow out of it, and I don't, depending on where I'm at, or depending on what you and I need to hear on that day. So keep reading the Word of God. God is speaking to you all the time. It's the best thing for you. Delight in it. And God says we're blessed, right? We're blessed by these kinds of godly desires. We enjoy His Word. We're in it every day, right? And over time, we become, verse 3, a healthy, deep-rooted tree, because we made the wise decision of planting ourselves near life-giving water. That's not completely the goal, though, right? Because the verse doesn't end. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, period. It goes on and says, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. So our choices prepare us for what? Life's challenges. This is not a perfect world. Amen? Right? We have a lot of challenges in life. Fruit is seasonal, is it not? And is it a long season? It's a short season of the evidence of the fruit, and it takes a while to get there, doesn't it? So that means there's a lot of time where we don't see fruit actually growing, but it doesn't mean it isn't being cultivated. It needs to rest. It needs to replenish. It needs to grow deep roots where it can reach water when the hot and arid dry seasons come, or when the cold winds threaten to destroy it. Its leaf does not wither. It stays on because it's still receiving the life-giving nutrients of the deep-rooted tree that looks cold and dead. But surprise, surprise, in March and April, it starts to grow leaves again. And the deep roots prevent the tree from losing its secure foundation. And I think we can all agree that we have been recipients of this blessing, of the kind of fruit that is evident in those people in our church right now who are struggling, going through cancer. And there's four people right now who've been going through this journey that we have watched, and we have seen they are not withering. Amen? Right? They're not withering because they've rooted themselves in the truths of God, and they put their trust in Him, and they're clinging to the promises of God. And every time we go through a difficulty and we trust God, we cling to His promises, God says, that's blessed. You're blessed. That's what it means to be blessed. Because we're receiving the life-sustaining, leaves aren't going to wither, nutrition of the Word, and we're applying it to our life. And other people are seeing that fruit in us. Is it easy? No. Because there's all kinds of voices out there in our world that say, oh, get mad at God, right? Or give up. Or, sadly, you don't have enough faith because you're going through this trial. It's amazing how the Word of God corrects our bad theology, right? But this is what's going on in the psalm, right? There's two ways we can look at life. There's two ways to live. Walk with God, or walk with the rest of the world. And how's that working for people? Well, verse 4. Not so the wicked. They are not deep-rooted, growing deep roots, foundational to the life-giving water. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, they will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So there's two choices. And here's the fruit of the other choice, right? So we need to choose wisely if we want true life. He's laying out options here. There's two options in life, people. There's only two options in life. Life is simple. Life is very simple once you've figured it out from God's perspective, isn't it? The one is blessed. The one is blessed. The many are cursed. Now, he doesn't use that word here, but when you read the Old Testament, right, clearly blessing and cursing is quite there. And the idea here is very clear because we're all born with a sin nature, are we not? Meaning we all have a curse hanging over us. The wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, Romans 6:23. So we need to receive God's gift of life through faith in him and his word, because without God, we are perishing. See, if we haven't chosen God, if we haven't asked forgiveness of our sins, believe that Jesus alone paid for our sins, we are, in fact, perishing as we speak. Well, Paul says this in Ephesians 2 about us. He reminds us, he says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were, right? We were by nature objects of wrath. So before we accepted Christ, we were perishing. We were objects of wrath because we were under the curse of sin, not knowing or not accepting yet what the true blessed life looks like. We were the walking dead. I've never seen any of those shows because I think they're lacking in intelligence. But it is interesting. Walking dead are all around us, right? They're walking dead. They're perishing. They don't know it. They're slowly, physically, and spiritually perishing because they're unaware or they've heard and rejected the wiser choice of choosing a life with God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you this. God says they are not going to stand in judgment, right? Am I making that up? No, I'm reading that from here, right? They won't stand in the judgment. He says they're like chaff, which blows away from the husk of the wheat when it's threshed, tossed in the air, and the chaff just, right, gone with the wind. In other words, there's nothing of substance. There's no value to this. It's throwaway. It's fluff. They are the withered leaf that is blown away. The way of unbelief, no matter how shiny or pretty or beautiful or athletic or smart or successful, is still fluff, according to God. God calls that wicked. God says there's only wise and wicked people in the world. That's God's words, right? See, the problem with the reason why we don't like that is because we've redefined what wicked means. See, we've redefined, the culture has redefined that wicked means the really bad people. God says, everyone's really bad, right? Everyone's either, you're either wise or you're wicked. That's God's simple assessment of life. We're either living or we're dying. But the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. See, with God, we flourish, right? We flourish. Watches over is also translated know. And God knows the way of the righteous. And I think know is a better word to use here, because watches over is implied in the word know, because the word know means it's the intimate knowledge of. It's the same word that, you know, Adam knew his wife, right? There's that intimate relationship. God knows us. We have a relationship with him. He cares for us. He's watching over us. We're secure in him if we've placed our faith in him and his son. See, Psalm 2:12 points out the ultimate, looks ultimately forward to Jesus. We know that. Reminds us that we need to kiss the Son. In the context of the Psalm, it's the Son of God, verse 7. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish. Same word used here in Psalm 1. And you perish in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. See, the blessed are those who take refuge in him. A reminder that, you know, he protects us. He guides us. He'll get us safely where he says he's going to get us to. So Psalm 1 invites us to the blessed life. Here's the blessed life, if you want it. If you want to live for God, you'll find out it's the most satisfying life you'll ever have. Now, and the greatest benefits for all eternity. It also reminds us that it's not easy because we're outnumbered. There's all kinds of other counselors and voices out there. But I like verse 6 because it says, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, plural. So we're not alone, right? We're not alone. There may not be many of us, but we're not alone. And we need each other. And we need each other's help and prayers to stay strong and grow and recognize the joy of what it means to live a blessed life. I just want to very briefly look at the first 8 verses and not the rest of the 168 verses of Psalm 119. But look at how Psalm 119 starts, right? Blessed are they whose ways are blameless. Okay, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago. Who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart. As I learn your righteous laws, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Notice that the desires of his heart are to walk blamelessly with God. Yet he recognizes his desire always doesn't match his actions. I think we can relate to that, right? We know what it means to be blessed. Okay, we know what it means now, and it means we're blessed by God because of our security in him through faith in his son. We know that living blamelessly is our desire, but we still listen to the unwise voices in our world, and sometimes we our own sinful, selfish desires, right? That keeps whispering to us, this is better. But I like the honesty of verse 5. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Ah, I know what it means to be blessed, right? But I struggle with doing that on a day-to-day basis. Oh, that we would make wise choices today, right? Delighting and chewing on the Word of God so that we would show a lost world what does it mean to be blessed. And that they would want that for themselves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this psalm. 6 powerful verses that simply show us life in a nutshell. We either choose you or we don't. I pray we've all chosen you today, Lord, by faith through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that we've all recognized that we are perishing, that we're lost without you, that there's no other way that we can have our sins forgiven outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because to reject that is to say, somehow I can do it my own way, which is absolutely impossible. Lord, help us to recognize if we've been struggling with focusing on you and living for you as a believer, Lord, and probably stumbling along the way, not enjoying life as we could, help us to turn and make wiser choices. Maybe we're experiencing some of the results of poorer choices in our life. Doesn't mean we can't turn around. Doesn't mean we can't turn around and start making better choices. The benefits, the results may take a while to show, but in the long run, they will. The fruit will show. So Lord, maybe today we need to repent of something. I don't know. But help us, Lord, to make wise choices. Start small, gradual. We'll get there if we stick with you. Lord, we want to be that image. I love that image in verse 3, that tree planted by streams of water whose leaf does not wither and it prospers. Father, help us to grow. Help us to prosper spiritually so that we're showing the fruit, the evidence of your hand in our life. It's not always exciting. It's not always easy. But it's the best life by far, and it is the most satisfying life to live for you. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite Chris and Arthur to help me this morning with communion. And I was thinking about Matthew 5 this morning. So when Jesus says the Beatitudes, the blessings, right? Blessed are. Does he talk about circumstances? Does he talk about, you know, having safety and health and all those things as what it means to be blessed? No. And so when we read Matthew 5, Psalm 1, Psalm 119, they're all echoing in the background here, right? He's making reference to these kinds of blessings. When he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not the rich of the world, but the people who recognize they need God. Blessed are those who mourn and grieve, for they will be comforted. People who not just mourn over their own sins, but see a lost world and see the need for its saving in Jesus. Blessed are the meek, not the powerful, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for power, fame, righteousness. They're the ones who get filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And then blessed are those who are persecuted, right? Because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, Jesus echoes the psalmists and says, this is what it means to be blessed. Not by the great things of life that we enjoy, that's another aspect, he says, but what it really means to be blessed from God's perspective is to choose wisely, knowing it's not going to result in necessarily the most comfortable, blessing life that we would sometimes like. We need to have the wisest, godliest perspective according to Jesus, according to the psalmist. Blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? We are blessed because we know God. Period. So as we share in the elements, we're reminded that blessing of being right with God came at a great cost, right? Jesus had to die on the cross for our sins for us to know that. So thank God today. Arthur, would you give thanks for the bread, please? That's all. Okay.
Our Father, I thank you for the blessedness that we we have because Jesus was faithful, unlike a tree planted by the waters, always doing your will and not following the advice of the world around him. So, Father, as we remember him now, remember his sacrifice, and we just pray that we would be able to rejoice that not for the suffering, but the results of that suffering. So we thank you in Jesus' name.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, neath the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, all through the blood. Some through great sorrows, God gives the song. In the night season, all the day.
Said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Mm-hmm.